right, happy Friday, everybody. Made it through another week. They still haven't passed SB 1959, but keep posted, guys. It's coming. They're, you know, being very mysterious about this. They're delaying it. They're not, you know, we're not hearing anything about it. Of course, most people don't even know that the House has already passed this bill. They don't even know it exists, for that matter. It's unbelievable that people are not, you know, attuned to what is going on. Of course, the media isn't telling them, but nevertheless, you know, seeing all the scams this administration has pulled off, you'd think they'd be paying a lot closer attention to what's going on, you know, realizing that the media is a bunch of liars now, and would be digging to find out what's happening and, you know, keep them under the microscope. But no, everybody's just snoozing away, and they're just getting away with, they're getting away with murder, amongst other things. And speaking of that, that's what I'm going to be talking about today. We're going to be breaking down the collapse of the towers on 9/11 in fine detail, guys, going over this with a fine-tooth comb. Going to be citing some very interesting authoritative quotations to show unquestionably that those towers were taken down with explosives. You know, I've touched upon this on previous shows, but never went into it in any considerable detail, you know, citing actual references. So we're going to be taking a look at that today. You know, this is something that we cannot forget. We must keep it etched in our minds. This was the biggest act of treason in the history of this country, and it's because of what took place that day that they're getting away with so many other fiascos that they've pulled off ever since. Trashing our rights, suckling us into fighting wars, turning this country into a complete monstrous dictatorship, you know, reintroducing torture, on and on it goes. When you see 9/11 as the fraud that it is, then you'll understand that the war on terror, of course, is a fraud, and every piece of legislation that's come down the pike since has been a fraud, using 9/11 as the excuse, again, just to take your rights away, to give them total power. And so, again, when we get back from the break, we're going to be getting into the meat of this thing, guys. If you have any doubt 9/11 was an inside job, you need to stay tuned and hear what I got to say today. Before we do that, let me just mention once again, guys, our sponsor, one of our sponsors. Of the 3 million plus edible food plants, I think I mentioned this either yesterday or the day before, of all the 3 million plants that grow on Earth, there's no other single plant that can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. I actually never knew this before until I saw this ad. It's highly nutritional, hemp plant. If you go to hempusa.org, H-E-M-P-U-S-A.org, they will ship worldwide, guys, free shipping to U.S. and Canadian customers. At HempUSA, you can go there and educate yourself and find out how edible hemp is not marijuana, and it is certified THC-free. So you don't have to worry. It's you know, you're not going to get high. The kids aren't going to get high using this product. It's you know, highly nutritional, the powder is 50% protein. That's how nutritional this stuff is. Unbelievable. For you vegetarians out there, you never have to worry about protein deficiency again. And it does not contain gluten, which is another good thing. A lot of people are allergic to gluten. So you can go to hempusa.com or you can call 908-691-2608 to find out more. All right, guys, stick with us. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back. Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Attention, this is an extremely urgent Republic Broadcasting News Bulletin. If you're interested in suppressed natural cures, this will be the most important message you will ever hear. Listen closely. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test an amazing blacklisted herbal product considered to be the single most powerful traditional remedy on Earth. In fact, medical studies in other countries have been conducted on the astonishing effects this rare mineral-like compound has had on arthritis, obesity, energy, memory, and even reproductive health. Yet, because of the rules governing nutritional supplements in this country, no health or healing claims can be made at this time. However, it is still legal to own this compound, and right now a very small amount is being made available to RBN listeners in what's being called the most amazing and unusual offer ever made on radio. To claim your supply as an RBN listener, simply go to www.blacklistedherb.com. That's blacklistedherb.com. Shipments will be filled on a first-come, first-served basis, so it's important that you move quickly. www.blacklistedherb.com or call 877-327-0365.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're gonna start taking this hemp, I say. Go to hempusa.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made, go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Two Thirds Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. Like I said, we're going to talk about the Twin Towers today. What actually brought them down? I'll tell you guys, me, along with many others, knew immediately when that event occurred that it was an inside job. There was no question about it. I sat there watching those towers come down. I couldn't believe it. I'm just, you know, I'm like, here we go. Business as usual. Of course, I had known about the push for the New World Order, you know, going back to the early 90s. So, you know, I knew that they had been staging all kinds of crazy stuff like this, so, you know, it was no surprise. But nevertheless, to see those buildings come down like that, I just couldn't believe it. I remember I was at work watching, and I wanted so bad to say, you know, people, can you not see there's something wrong here? A building cannot collapse like that right in on its own footprint. That had to be a controlled demolition. But, of course, you know, that just wasn't going to fly. And it didn't fly for a while, but now... Now, with the outrageous scandals that have been pulled since then, thank heavens people are finally catching on, and you know they're much more open to, you know, to re-examining what went on that day, and much more likely to admit that, yeah, it does seem like you know, things didn't play out the way we were told. And they didn't, guys. No question about it. 9/11 was an inside job, and like I said, you know, if you just listen carefully to what I'm going to say today and consider the sources I'm going to be quoting from, there's no way you can possibly deny that 9/11 was an inside job. This is why they're creating bills like SB 1959, already passed as HR 1955, because they want to close down the internet as a means of exchanging information like this. They're not going to shut the internet down altogether, but I mean they're going to prevent it from continuing to be a medium to exchange information like this. They don't want the public knowing, because they know the public is getting the truth from the internet. They're not getting it anywhere else, certainly not getting it from the media, they're not getting it from academia. The internet is really the last place that's, you know, that people can go, that they have ready access to on a daily basis, and find out what's actually going on in the world. So once they can shut that avenue down, then they will have shut off all the major outlets. All of the leaks, if you will have been stopped up. So, you know, folks, for what little time left we have to exchange information freely on the internet, got to take advantage. So with that thought in mind, let's launch into this discussion. One of the most incredible aspects of the whole 9/11 saga, one of the most amazing points about the Twin Towers particularly, is the fact that there actually was no investigation. This is what many people are totally in the dark about, have no clue about. But the reality is there literally was no investigation. Understand, this is the biggest crime scene in all of American history. And not only was there no examination, nobody would allow, or should I say FEMA specifically, would not allow an investigation to take place. There were experts from around the country that had volunteered their services down there for free, and FEMA wouldn't let them near any of the debris to examine it. Unbelievable, guys. That right there ought to tell you something. What were they trying to hide? I'll get into that some more and read some very interesting quotes along that line in a minute. But let's go to our caller here. We get Jerry in South Carolina. Welcome to the show, Jerry.
How you doing, Charles?
What's going on, man?
Oh, not too much. Are you still thinking about leaving RBN?
Yeah, well, I'm not thinking about it. Yeah, next Friday is actually going to be my last day. I've got one more week. For now, anyways, you know, I might come back at a future time, get my finances in order here.
Oh, so nobody's made you an offer you can't refuse, huh?
Oh, no, it's not about an offer. It's just several things I got to, you know, catch up on. Money's one of them.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, no, I love doing this. I am hoping to get back into it in the future because I'm already missing it.
Yeah, I tell you, RBN's going to be missing a great asset, I tell you.
Well, you know, like I mentioned before, you know, if John or anybody else for that matter ever needs a fill-in, you know, I'm certainly available, mostly in the evening hours. But, you know, yeah, I'll still be around. In fact, I think I'm going to be on Saturday on, what's his name? Oh, geez. Is it Kevin Ryan there? You know, the former Wisconsin professor there. I'm going to be on his show. He's going to have a Zionist on that wants to debate with me.
Oh, that ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I got a question. It's a little bit off of your subject for right now. Did you ever see the movie? It's called The Good Shepherd?
No, I don't think
Matt
so. What's
Damon?
That about?
Excellent movie. If your listeners out there and yourself, if you ever get a chance to watch it. It gets into, you know, I was surprised that they revealed as much as they did. It gets into.
Oh, you know what? I said Kevin Ryan. I'm falling asleep today. It's, yeah, Kevin Barrett. Kevin Barrett. He's the guy that has the set. Sorry about that. Yeah,
oh,
guys,
okay.
If you want to tune in on Saturday, I think I'm going to be calling in, providing nothing pops up on that day, a week from tomorrow. But
okay.
I'm going to be calling in. And, yeah, this Zionist guy claims he's going to blow me out of the water and defend infallible Israel and, you know, the Talmud and all that other trash. Anyway, what were you saying?
If I'm not working, I'll definitely tune in on Saturday.
Yeah.
But if you ever get a chance to see the movie The Good Shepherd with Matt Damon, I think Robert De Niro was in it, and Angela Jolie, it gets into the details of how the actual skull and bones, and it revealed how the CIA was recruiting from Yale all of their intelligence agents from Yale.
Now, there was a movie, Skulls, that was pretty good.
This was more realistic. That was kind of, you know, I saw bits and pieces of the skull, but this one really got into the real details of the tomb, them mud wrestling, laying in the coffin, you know, revealing secrets to the other brothers, and how they actually operated. It goes back into the 30s and 40s, 50s and 60s, that area of time. And if you get a chance, watch it. This is a good movie. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, check it out. So.
But back to 9/11. Oh yeah, when I first saw 9/11, once I got over the shock of the first plane hitting the building and the second plane hitting the building. And they started showing the replay of it right afterwards. I was at work, and everybody just got up and left work and came into the break room to see what was going on. And when I put my emotions aside, you know, of the initial shock of, you know, these planes hitting the building and they're being on fire, you know, and they started showing the replay of the collapse of the building, I said, there's something strange about this, you know, because, you know, I'm a big fan of watching demolition, you know, buildings come down by demolition, and especially I think the family's name is the Wazoos. Well, anyway, I was looking at this and I saw the replay and I said, those planes didn't bring those buildings out to myself. You know, I said demolition brought those buildings down, because when I saw the replay, they didn't have a chance to doctor it, because it was right after it had happened and they started showing the replays of them collapsing. I said, bombs, I said, demolition brought those buildings down. I even called Alex Jones up right after it had happened, and I said, Alex, I said, demolition brought those buildings down. If you look at the replay, and he was kind of skeptical at the time because it had just happened. He says, well, I don't know, you know. I said, hey, look at the replays. Well, those buildings came straight down into the ground. I mean, perfect. They didn't tilt. They didn't wobble. They came straight into the ground. And then they put a gag order on all the firemen. They can't the ones that survived it, that are living today, that were close to it, heard the bombs going off in there. They put a gag order and threatened their families. That's why they're scared to talk to them.
And then, you know, Giuliani passed an ordinance and nobody could take pictures. I mean, that's unbelievable. Nobody could take pictures of the debris as it was being removed. Now, you know, what was the logic behind that? There was never a reason given. He just forbade it. Well, it's obvious.
Right.
Because pictures can be quite telling, you know, where they wouldn't let them physically handle it and look it over. They wouldn't even let them take pictures, because that could have given away the big scan.
And then once the fires died out, they jumped right on carting off all of the debris. Now, where they took the steel and the concrete to, I have no idea. But they got rid
of
it.
Well, they
quick.
Sent a lot of it over to India and China. It was melted down in the scrap. But you know what? There was quite a bit that was used to make a battleship, melting quite a bit down. And then there's still some that has been left untouched. It's in a warehouse at the Kennedy Airport in Hangar 17. There's several tons of it that, I don't know, they're keeping for posterity or whatever. Certainly not for future investigations.
No.
They haven't let. I don't know why there aren't whole teams of people demanding the release of this material, subpoenaing it, and you know, of course there have been tests anyway. It's not that we even need that, but you would think that there would be some official, collegiate team of professors, scientists that would demand the right to examine it. You know.
Yeah. And that's on the same parallel, the same lines as the Oklahoma City bombing.
Oh yeah, sure.
They did away with all the materials there, real
right.
quick. You know.
Anyway, I got a lot of material to cover here. So, was there anything else you wanted to mention?
No, hey man, we're gonna miss you. Keep up the good work.
All right, man.
Take care.
Yeah, appreciate the call. All right,
okay,
guys, bye-bye. Short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions Frequency Instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest-to-operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Guys, as I mentioned, there was no investigation at Ground Zero. Listen to what Bill Manning, the head editor of Fire Engineering magazine, it's their journal, Fire Engineer Journal. In fact, it's the leading firefighter journal in the country. This is from the January 2002 edition. In this journal, he called, he called FEMA's so-called investigation a half baked farce. He complained that not only was debris not being examined, but it was being removed and destroyed. He said the destruction and removal of evidence must stop immediately. He was outraged, and of course several others were. Dr. Frederick Maurer, associate professor, Fire Protection Engineering Department of University of Maryland, had this to say: I find the speed with which potentially important evidence has been removed and recycled to be appalling. That was in the New York Times, December 25th, 2001 edition. So there's no question what was going on there, guys. It was a massive cover-up enterprise. They were taking, please understand, that tampering with evidence at a crime scene is a felony. You're not to touch it, you're not to tamper with it, you're certainly not to remove it or destroy it. And yet all of this was being done. And FEMA was directing the whole thing. Unbelievable. This was, understand once again, the biggest crime scene in American history. this scene needed to be investigated, not only because it was the biggest crime scene in American history, but because no high-rise buildings in the history of high-rise construction had ever come down solely because of fire. So if for no other reason, not just because it was a crime scene, but to make sure that there wasn't some type of design flaw, they needed to examine that debris meticulously to find out where the failures were, what caused them, so that future structures would not be designed with that same flaw or could be designed better so that something like that would never happen again. But this was not done. And so to this day, it's a mystery. You know, NIST and all the other reports that have come out can only theorize what they think happened, but nobody knows for sure because it wasn't exact. How can this be? Tell me, guys, that we're not dealing with a massive whopping fraud here when FEMA was deliberately preventing an investigation. FEMA said in its May 1st, 2002 report, early confusion over who was in charge of the site and the lack of authority of investigators to impound pieces of steel for examination before they were recycled led to the loss of important pieces of evidence that were destroyed early during the search and rescue effort. What? Are you gotta be kidding? Early confusion over who was in charge? When has this ever happened in the history of crime scene investigations? There's no question. If they wanted to examine this debris, you better bet your bottom dollar they would have done so, and with absolute ease. They had no problem sectioning the area off, keeping people at bay. They had no problem, you know, coordinating the whole effort. And you're going to tell me they couldn't have prevented debris from being removed. Come on, folks. And then later, now they're claiming, oh, well, the reason why it wasn't examined is we were in a hurry to get any survivors out of it that might be in there. So now they've changed the excuse. First they said, oh, there was confusion over who was in charge. Now they're saying, oh, well, we were in a hurry. In a hurry? Hey, let me tell you, folks, if there were any survivors in there, and actually there were, Rodriguez and this woman were underneath a stairwell, and everything collapsed around them, and they did manage to pull them out about an hour or two after the collapse. Amazingly, they did survive. But they wouldn't have survived much longer if they didn't get them out of there as quick as they did, because there was so much smoke in the area, they would have suffocated. Not to mention, down into the pile, the temperatures were so hot, there's no way anybody could have been surviving in there. And yet, for months on end, this debris continued to be removed. They weren't concerned about survivors months into the cleanup. And then they said, oh, well, we were also concerned about getting remains out of there to their families. Well, that's a lie too, folks. Because as it turns out, in the years that have followed 9/11, to this day, they still continue to find human remains all over the place. Remember, about a year ago, they dug up a section of street. They found two huge, almost complete steel beams weighing, you know, scores of tons each, just laying there under the street. And right next to them were dozens of bones and pieces of bones just scattered about, buried under the street. Yeah, they were real concerned about getting remains back. It turns out, articles have come out, guys, in the New York Times, New York Post, where they were actually grinding up human bones and using them for landfill. Yeah, these remains that they were supposedly so concerned about getting back to the family members for proper burial. Get out of town. Anyway, FEMA goes on in its report. Lack of authority of investigators to impound pieces of steel? Oh, come on. Anytime there's a crime scene like this, federal officials are right there on the scene, guys, if they really want to do an investigation. And they blow that whistle and everything stops. They do their investigation, and then the crew comes in and cleans up. There's no possible way that you could interpret this as a legitimate excuse here. They're lying. In case you haven't noticed, FEMA has been lying about a whole lot of things for a long time now. That's their job. Federal Emergency Manufacturing Agency. All right, guys, short break. Stick with us. Be right back. Lose the love I knew,
you're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you new to freeze-drying foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Radio. Just want to finish up this FEMA quote first here, and then we get another caller. FEMA went on to say, in addition, a delay in the deployment of FEMA's BPAT team may have compounded the lack of access to valuable data and artifacts. A delay in the arrival? What were they, 3 months late? Because that's how long that this destruction of evidence was going on for. A little over three flipping months. They were a little bit late in arrival. Well, let's examine that one a little more closely, shall we? Was it because FEMA's BPAT team didn't arrive there on time? Notice what one cleanup crew member said, guys. This is from the New York Times, December 25th, again, the same article, 2001. He said, "This is almost the dream team of engineers in the country working on this, and our hands are tied because FEMA is controlling everything." So there you go. It wasn't the delay in FEMA's BPAT team. It wasn't because FEMA had trouble impounding pieces of evidence or because they were confused over who was in charge. FEMA itself was in charge, and they were the ones preventing their own so-called investigation. Unbelievable. Well, should we be surprised? It was FEMA that was on the scene down in Louisiana, guys, in the wake of Katrina, preventing people from getting help, turning away 50 countries that offered water, food, medicine, clothing, turned away trucks that came from all over the country. They were lined up miles outside the city. Not only did they not let help get in, once again, they didn't let anybody get out and get their own help. FEMA strikes again. Yeah, I guess that was a confusion over who was in charge, too, right, FEMA? Get out of here, you pigs. Anyway, let's go to Dave in Texas. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Hey, how you doing today, Charles?
What's up?
Well, I was wondering, did you ever hear that joke, why did God make, no, how'd it go? You know why God made Gentiles?
Tell me. No, I haven't heard that one.
Well, somebody had to pay retail.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. Well, you know, Charles, I looked at that, you know, some of those books you read. I hadn't read the books that you wrote there, but did...
Hey, since we're on that, I got to tell you this one. I'll use this joke was originally told. It was a, you know, a racial joke. I won't make it racial though. I'll say Zionist. There was a Zionist in this public bathroom, and this other guy is next to him. You know, they're washing the hands at the sink, and the guy's like, "Oh wow, look at that! There's a quarter over there in the toilet." So the Zionist goes over and pulls his wallet out. Takes out a dollar bill and throws it in the toilet, and then he reaches in and he pulls the dollar and the quarter out, and the other guy says, "What the heck did you do that for?" He says, "Well, it wasn't worth it dipping in there just for the quarter." Anyway, so what were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, grow up in a so-called religious environment? Were you encouraged to study the Bible some, or did you go to divinity school, or what exactly was the pathway there?
I was raised in a Catholic home. Pretty much everybody up here in the Northeast was at one time or other. We kind of bounced around from this and that. My mother's in the Pentecostal movement for a while, Adventism, of course, and a few other little cults, enough to realize that they're all the same. You know,
well, the reason,
I'm actually glad for that experience, you know, because now none of them are ever going to fool me again. But anyway, what are you going
to
say?
Well, the reason I ask is because I've actually never been to New York City, but I heard one time Jesse Jackson say something like Hymietown, and boy, a bunch of people got all upset about that. And they have a mayor called Bloomberg, and they have this guy Silverstein who takes out an insurance policy on these two buildings.
Yeah, that's highly suspicious, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm looking at something written like Justin Raimondo's Waco as metaphor, and I look at symbols, and you know, when you look at those buildings fall down, you know, if you've ever been a boy and you have to go out and swing a hammer and crush some rocks, you know, you don't get concrete dust without an explosion, period.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. And everything was reduced to dust. That's what's so amazing. I mean,
yeah.
It was nothing.
Well, that's what I'd like to see people symbolically and physically do to these Jewish myths, because if they study the scriptures closely enough, they'll run across what is called Jewish myths. And, you know, Edgar Steele, did you ever read that one? He wrote about it wasn't Arabs. Have you ever read that one?
No.
It says... all this long list, all of these things that have happened to him, you know, criminal felonies in this country. I mean, he's a lawyer, right? You know, people threatening him, you know, terrorists threatening him. Well, they all happen to be Jewish, you know. And the fact is, in this country and in this planet, the only people who are the terrorists are Jewish. And they print currency and they run that city called New York City and they run Hollywood and they produce movies. You know, so-called realities, Jewish myths.
I prefer the term Zionist, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
Anyway, I was kind of hoping maybe we could break old Carl out of the nervous hospital and y'all could have a Bible study there one day, maybe.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, I want to get back on the topic here, Dave.
All right, I'm going to go over and see if I can get Carl out of the nervous hospital. Have a good show.
Yeah. Okay, Dave, thanks for the call. Okay, guys, let's get back into this. January 4th, 2002, New York Daily News had this to say. Interviews with a handful of members of the team, which included some of the nation's most respected engineers, uncovered complaints that they had at various times been shackled with bureaucratic restrictions that prevented them from interviewing witnesses, examining the disaster site, and requesting crucial information like recorded distress calls to the police and fire departments. Here were these volunteers down there, volunteering their services to investigate, and they were being thwarted at every turn, guys, every flipping turn. So once again, there not only was not an investigation, every attempt to conduct a legitimate investigation was thwarted, and it was being thwarted primarily by FEMA, which claimed that, oh, there was a bunch of confusion, and, oh, get out of here. It's unbelievable, guys. The 9/11 Commission, don't forget, wasn't formulated until 14 months after the attacks. There's another problem right there. This investigation should have been underway immediately, right after Kennedy's assassination. The next day, a commission was put together, you know, albeit a rigged one, and gave us a phony report. But nevertheless, there was a commission established the very next day. The shuttle crashed in 2003. The next day, boom, commission was formulated. 9/11, biggest crime in American history, and 14 months go by before there was a commission established. And again, it was a rigged one, but 14 months later, and keep in mind, all during that 14 months, they fought tooth and nail to prevent an investigation. They didn't want one at all when they realized, you know, that they couldn't stop it. Okay, well, we'll just handpick all the commission members. We'll rig it and tell them, you know, who they can interview and what documents they can look at. And, of course, they blacked out the few documents that they did give them. It's just incredible. Oh, boy. Anyway, FEMA's World Trade Center Building Performance Study came out May 1st of 2002, made this statement. The collapse of these WTC structures is particularly significant in that prior to these events of 9/11, no protected steel frame structure has ever experienced a fire-induced collapse. So here's the FEMA report admitting there has never been such a collapse before. So once again, I have to ask, why were the investigations being thwarted? Keep in mind, once the 9/11 Commission was established, all the debris had been removed and destroyed. That's why they were one of the reasons why they were delaying it for so long, guys. Actually, they were trying to stop it altogether, but you know, by the time it did get formulated, it didn't matter. All the key pieces of evidence had been removed and, for the most part, destroyed. And even the pieces that haven't been destroyed over there in the JFK airport, it's funny, 9/11 Commission never subpoenaed any of that, but to some degree, it doesn't even matter. Because all the stuff has been removed, you know, so it's not in its original position, so you can't really tell, what caused the buildings to fall. Everything had to have been examined in the position that it fell in. That tells a lot. But, of course, examining it still would tell us that explosives were used because those pieces are loaded with thermite residue. That's been confirmed by several sources, of course, Stephen Jones being one, who I had on last summer. Okay, here's another important point to make note of. Experts say that the buildings should not have fallen. You know, they want us to think that the experts are in unanimous agreement that, oh yeah, there's no question those buildings were going to come down. It was just a matter of time. Some might have been surprised that they came down, you know, so quickly, you know, they thought it was going to take several hours longer, but there's no question that the buildings were destined to collapse. That isn't true. There were many experts, people that actually helped design and construct the buildings, who expressed absolute shock that they came down at all, especially in the short time frame, you know, collapsing in just a, 10-second time frame there. Frank DeMartini is such a person. He was the on-site construction manager at the WTC. He said the building was designed to have a fully loaded 707 crash into it. That was the largest plane at the time. I believe that the building probably could sustain multiple impacts of jetliners because this structure is like the mosquito netting on your screen door, this intense grid, and the jet plane is just a pencil puncturing that screen. It really does nothing to the screen netting itself. Here's another one. American Free Press, December 2nd, 2001, had this to say. A head engineer who designed the World Trade Center towers, expressed shock that the towers collapsed after being hit by passenger jets. "I designed it for a 707 to hit it," Lee Robertson, the project's structural engineer, said. "The Boeing 707 has a fuel capacity of more than 23,000 gallons, comparable to the 767's 23,980-gallon fuel capacity." Another architect of the World Trade Center, Aaron Swirsky, lives in Israel and spoke to Jerusalem Post Radio after the attack. Here's what he said. "It was designed around that eventuality, to survive this kind of attack," he said. Hyman Brown, a University of Colorado civil engineering professor and the World Trade Center's construction manager, watched in confusion as the towers came down. He said, "It was over-designed to withstand almost anything, including hurricanes, high winds, bombings, and an airplane hitting it." From the January 2002 Fire Engineering Journal, again, the same article I cited a moment ago, Bill Manning, the head editor, again, made this statement. He said, "The structural damage from the planes and the explosive ignition of jet fuel in themselves were not enough to bring down the towers." He also stated that both collapses occurred, quote, "in an alarmingly short time." Scientific American made this comment. Despite the expert panels, talking about the FEMA report, the expert panels, yeah, expert, all right, expert at lying. Despite the expert panel's preliminary musings on the failure mechanisms responsible for the Twin Towers' fall, the definitive cause has yet to be determined. And that still remains the case today. Demolition expert Michael Taylor, from quoted in in New Scientist, September 12, 2001, had this to say, "The collapse of the WTC towers looked like a classic controlled demolition. They could have tipped onto other buildings or into the river across the West Side Highway, yet they came straight down." Yes, absolutely, controlled demolition. Dr. Van D. Romero, president for research at the New Mexico Institute of Mining and Technology, made this statement. "It appeared too methodical. My opinion is, based on the videotapes, that after the planes hit the World Trade Center, there were some explosive devices inside the buildings that caused the towers to collapse." January 3, 2002, Baltimore Sun quoted James Quintire, professor of fire protection engineering, University of Maryland, who pointed out that fires could not have destroyed the Twin Towers. These are just a few samplings, guys, of experts who are not going along with the official story, and in their expert opinion are saying, no, these towers had to be taken down some other way. It couldn't have been from the planes or from the jet fuel fires. It turns out, guys, that the fires in the towers were absolutely insignificant. NIST admits this. It said that the fires did not exceed 800 degrees Fahrenheit in the towers after the fuel had burned up. In the April 5th, 2005 New York Times, in an article called "Report on Trade Center Collapses Emphasizes Damage to Fireproofing," this is what it said. The report by the National Institute of Standards and Technology said its findings support the fact that the World Trade Center towers withstood the initial aircraft impact and that they would have continued to remain standing indefinitely, but for another significant event such as the subsequent fires. The conclusions are in line with the previous analysis, and it goes on, blah, blah, blah. The point they made here is they're claiming that when the planes hit, they stripped away fireproofing off of the steel girders. And so it exposed the steel to the intense fires. Yet they admit that the fires didn't exceed 800 degrees. initially when the planes impacted, you know, the temperature was probably up around 1,400 degrees. But it quickly died down after the fuel had burned up, literally less than a minute later. And then, you know, it remained at about 800 degrees for the duration of the time until the buildings came down. Understand that it doesn't matter. Either 800 or 1,400 degrees, it doesn't matter. That's not hot enough, guys, to melt or even weaken steel. Steel begins to weaken at 1,800 degrees, and it doesn't melt until 2,800 degrees. So this whole NIST thing is a complete fraud once again. Fires at Ground Zero, guys, were much hotter even long after 9/11. ABC News, September 18, 2001, reported, the temperature at the core of the pile of WTC debris is near 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit, according to fire officials. So I'll read some more quotes like that when we get back. This is, you know, weeks and weeks later, after 9/11, the temperatures were way beyond 800 degrees. Now, how do you suppose that happened? Stick with us, guys. Be right back.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is a allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, guys, we're back on True Threats Radio. Let me go on here with some more quotes along this line. Nearly 6 weeks later, now, you know, the quote I just read was from September 18th. That was a week later, and the steel is showing to be about 2,000 degrees in the area where they were digging, okay? That's, 1,200 degrees hotter a week later than the maximum temperature they claimed the fires achieved in the towers. How did the fires get 1,200 degrees hotter on the ground after the collapses from what they were you know, a week earlier before the towers collapsed. Nearly 6 weeks after 9/11, some rare footage was shot at Ground Zero of the cleanup efforts, and a cameraman was interviewing a crew member who was pointing out red-hot pieces of steel that were being pulled out of the piles of debris. Here's what the crew member said, quote, "As we get closer to the center of this, as we dig deeper into the pile, it gets hotter and hotter. It's probably 1,500 degrees. It looks like an oven, a bright, bright reddish-orange color. See that stuff he's pulling out?" Referring to a worker in a tractor. It's red hot, he said. CBS News, December 19, 2001, had this to say. Firefighters have extinguished almost all but the last remnants of underground fires that have burned at the World Trade Center site for more than 3 months since the September 11th terrorist attack. How in the world could fires still be burning by December 19th, over 3 months later, guys? Here's another quote. Actually, this is the same quote continuing on. It says, "The fires that began with the September 11th attacks had been strong enough that fire trucks had to spray a nearly constant jet of water on them." Again, guys, for over 3 months. "At times, the flames slowed the work of clearing the site. You couldn't even begin to imagine how much water was pumped in there," said Tom Manley of the Uniformed Firefighters Association, the largest fire department union. he went on to say, "It was like you were creating a giant lake." Here's this fireman admitting they poured so much water on there for over 3 months. He said it was like they were creating a large lake. Again, how is this possible? If the fires were only 800 degrees maximum on September 11th, and they were localized to only about 10 floors, right, at the top of the building, how is it that as they dug deeper and deeper into the pile, months later, the temperature is still 1,500 to 2,000 degrees? How is that possible? Why was so much water required? Since the fires were in the top sections of the building, that was the last part of the building to fall, to hit the ground. The fires should have been on the top of the debris, right? And, you know, just the collapse of the towers should have snuffed out those fires. The force of the collapse. But no, we find the temperatures were so intense that they could not be put out, even though doused with enough water to create a lake, the fireman said, because the temperatures were over 5,100 degrees, as we'll talk about when we get back, guys. Stick with us.